God to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 24. We come now to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, and we have seen that Jesus has been issuing an invitation, a call for a decision for his audience to enter the kingdom of God through the narrow gate and to listen and to follow his true prophets, and now today to build on a firm and true and right foundation. Let us begin, therefore, in verse 24 of Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, hears and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who builds his house on the foundation, on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words and puts these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Father, we don't want the latter to happen to us. So I pray that you would inspire me and inspire us all, even myself, as I preach, help me to hear. Help us to put into practice these words. Because the storms will come, and we want to be on a solid rock. And I just ask that you'd inspire this message and that you'd help us live it. We can't do these words on our own. We need you. And we ask you to inspire it. Holy Spirit, we ask you to just wake us up and stir us up to action. In Jesus' name and for the glory of the Father, amen. You know, what determines the quality of your house, of any building? And we're all builders. You know, even as little children, we build. You know, I look at my little grandchildren, I think back on my children, they all like to build. Whether it's playing in the sand and building something, or taking sticks or blocks, they are all builders. And they all like, even little children like to program Bob the Builder, right? Well, today I want to talk to you about Christ the Builder, Christ the foundation, and you the builder. But what determines the quality of that building? What gives it the stability? Can anybody get a guess? What is it? It's the foundation. It's the foundation. This is what Jesus is saying. Therefore, everyone in verse 24 who hears my words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And Jesus is the rock. So the quality, the endurability of your house depends on your foundation. And therefore, my message to you today is this: build your house on and by Jesus Christ. Build your house on and by Jesus Christ. But was Jesus talking really about a physical house, a physical building of sticks and stones and a rock foundation? Is that really what he's talking about? Or is this a metaphor for something else? I believe it's a metaphor for our lives. That's an analogy to our lives. Because what you're really building is a life. And the question is, what are you building on? What is your foundation? Is it Jesus Christ, or is it sand, sifting sand, the changing philosophies of man, your own ideas? You're building a life. People use that terminology all the time. You know, people get older and they say, you know, I look back on the life we've built. You ever hear that terminology? You're building a life. You stand back and you look at the life you're built. Hopefully you're not looking at the house you live in, the car you drive. I hope you're looking at the quality of your life, your character, your children and their character and how they're growing up. That's what we're looking at. What kind of life are you building? And the key is, are you building it upon Jesus Christ, which is the rock? Or are you building it on your own ideas? Are you building it on other false religions that are false? You could even be, quote unquote, a Christian and not be building on the right foundation. You could even be in the covenant community, God's people, and not be building on rock. You could be building on sand. I believe that the foundation is very important, so critical, because Jesus emphasizes it. I also believe that what Jesus is talking about here was not the first time that this was mentioned. You see, the Bible is one piece, old and new together. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to show you where I believe that Jesus was preaching from. Because you know, when Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount, he didn't open up to Matthew chapter 7. How many of you know that? Because there was no Matthew chapter 7. He was speaking it. And Jesus spoke from the Scriptures. In fact, we know that. I won't take the time to go there. But the last few verses of Matthew 7, when Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, it says that the people were astounded. They were amazed because he spoke with authority. That means that he spoke according to the Scriptures, and he had an authority about him because he was the Word of God personified. But he quoted, I believe, Isaiah 28 and verse 14. Turn there with me. Isaiah 28 and verse 13. It says, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, who rule this people in Jerusalem." He's not talking about some foreign nation, some pagan nation. He's talking about the household of God in the Old Testament. He says, "You boast that we have entered a covenant with death." We've got to deal with death, that death will not touch us. "With the grave we have made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it can't touch us." They thought they were secure. Did they have the right foundation? Because that would determine their security. "For we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place." Notice what they were depending on: lies and falsehood. They were not depending on the Word of God. Jesus said, "He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is building on a rock." Were they hearing the Word of God? No, they were hearing lies. And so many times we hear lies and we go with them. There's so many lies we believe. But Jesus said, "I have come to set you free. You will know the truth and I will set you free." But they were building their lives on lies. Verse 16. "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion." Zion is the covenant community, the church in the Old Testament. I lay a stone. He says, you've got all these lies, but I've laid a stone that you could build on. A foundation. A tested stone. Or some people call it a tried stone. And the reason why it's tried, because it's true. When you build a house, you start with what first? I hope you got the point now. What do you put down first? Walls? Roof? No, foundation. And that foundation has to be tested or true. God's word is true and tested. If your foundation is not tested, if that first stone, in our day, cement, is not square. Are you with me? It's not square. If it's not straight, if the builder does not test it and measure it over and over again, your whole house is going to be off. I have with me, those of you listening online can't see it, but I have this. What is this? Anybody take a guess? What is it? It is a builder's square. It is a builder's square. This has been tried and tested. It has one line going this way, going straight out laterally, and one going down. Any way you want to put it, it makes a 90-degree what? Angle. If you put this to something and it doesn't lay square, it's off. It's off. And when you build, you first establish. It's a tried or a tested, as we read, cornerstone. And if it's off a little, you say, oh, it's only off an eighth of an inch. We'll go ahead and build and lay the foundation. No! Because that little eighth of an inch, how little it seems to be, as you take this line out 30, 40, 50, 100 feet, that little eighth of an inch can become a whole foot off. The same is true in our thoughts. We're going to get in that in a moment. If you are off just a little bit, are you with me here? And you go with that, your whole life can be way out in left field. See, what kind of house are you building? What kind of life are you building? Jesus is tried and tested. He is our builder square. He is the pattern. Are you with me? I asked that because I hope this is clicking. His word is true. His word, he is the word. And his word has been inspired by the Holy Spirit to be written in Scripture. And we have to measure everything against that. Else we're not building on rock, on Jesus. We're building on sand. What are you building your life on? Not to pick on her, but are you building on what Ophrah says? I have people quoting her. And you know, that's good. I'm not saying turn Ophrah. But you could say anybody. People quote blah, 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 blah. Tupac. All right? People quote Lil Wayne. Whatever. 50 Cent. Whatever. Justin Bieber. No! Let's go on. So I lay a stone, lay the foundation, a tested stone, true, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts will never be dismayed. And I will make justice notice the measuring line. We are measured every day by what we think, what we hear, and finally, what we do. Because if we are laying bricks or sticks or stones or 2x4s against a foundation that is not true and tested, it's off. Your house is going to be, you know, swaying and leaning. That gangster lean. Oh, to the side, you think that's cool. Look at my house. Your house ain't supposed to be leaning. Notice what it says. It says, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. You know what a plumb line is? It has a weight on a string. It has a point to that wing. And when you hold it or it's held, it will make a straight line. Gravity will pull it in the right direction. Notice what it says. Hell will sweep away your refuge, the lie. If you have built on lies, the philosophies of this world and other people other than Christ, it says there will come a storm, just like Jesus said. It will come and blow against the building. Hell will sweep away your refuge, your house. Hailstorm. The lie. Is it built on truth or lie? And water will overflow your hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled because you will die. Are you building a house of life or a house of death? Your agreement with the grave will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge sweeps by, you will be beaten down by it. Oh, we don't want that, do we? Oh, so I believe that Jesus is taking his text here from the Old Testament in Isaiah. It's got to be Jesus. But we don't want to hear the word of God. You say, well, I do. But how much time do you spend in it? How much time do you use in listening to it? First, I'm going to turn there in 1 Peter 2:4. It talks about Jesus being the stone builders rejected. Listen, you're building every day by your thoughts. They're building your life. They really are. Those are your bricks. Your actions, your choices are building a life. That's how important it is. See, just a little thing. These little things are important. It's a foundation. But it says, Jesus is the stone the builders rejected. Don't reject the stone. Don't reject the foundation. Paul said in Ephesians 2:20 that we are being built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. The prophets is the Old Testament. The apostles, the New Testament. And Jesus, the chief cornerstone. He's saying the Bible. Build every day by saturating your mind and your heart with the Word of God, focusing on Jesus Christ. The Word of God. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning or the foundation of all knowledge. Every piece of knowledge, every thought that comes to you needs to be, and I bring out my builder square, set against the stone. You know, at the pyramids that they built, every stone fits against the other one. And they did not use mortar or cement or nails to keep it in place. Everything, every thought, you've got to put up against the Word of God to keep your building straight, to keep your mind straight, to keep your life straight. That's the rule. That's the building square. Every word. You know what a word is? What does a word represent? Anybody know? Do you realize that words are simply symbols? If you would look at writing while we were on Egypt and pyramids, if you would look at the writings in Egypt, you will see symbols. You won't see ABCs. And what's an A? What's a B? It's simply a symbol. Look at Chinese writing. Symbols. You say, what is that? They're symbols. That's all words are. They are symbols for thoughts. Because what we do is we take words and our mind interprets them into thoughts. If I say bingo, what does that mean? Your mind interprets, oh, you won the bingo game. All words are symbols of thoughts. All thoughts are symbols of a reality, either for good or bad. And all thoughts ultimately will lead you to actions. So we need to think according to the foundation, because it's got to line up. If you're building a wall or a house, and if you line up bricks and it's not in line with the foundation, again, your house is not going to be right. It won't hold up. Words, thoughts. We have to choose them. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We grow stronger. Bring every thought. That's what Paul said, did he not? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We see here, actually chapter 10 and verse 5. He says, we demolish arguments. What are arguments? Simply thoughts. One thought against another. One idea against the other. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, up against the builder's square. And we take captive. That means we take it and we measure it. Every thought, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I am now in verse 5, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And if that thought is not going to be obedient, if it's not going to line up with the square, do we just put it in the building anyway? Now, you notice that in houses that they've built. I look at certain things in my house. I said, why did they put that in there? Why did they do that? Trying to cut corners. Just put any board up in there. Well, that doesn't even fit. Why do we put just up anything up in our minds? Just junk. Well, you know what? If you build with junk, when that storm hits, guess what? You're going to be junk. Right? Every thought in obedience, measured, the tested. And if it's not that, we can't use that piece. I got a hardwood floor, and I said, why did they put that raggedy piece of board in there? They should have rejected it. It doesn't even fit the others. It doesn't even look like the others, but yet I see that every day. I don't worry about it, but I know it's not right. You see, you're building a life. You're building a house. Let's go on. And make it obedient to Christ. And if it won't obey that, won't fit that, it's out. Every thought. You just can't. Go with everything that comes to your mind. Now, it's going to come. That's not a sin. But it's when you don't measure it and you don't reject it and replace it, not just reject it, replace it with the right building materials, which is the Word of God is full of it. So you got to think God's thoughts after Him. Thoughts informed by the Word of God. Think God's thoughts after Him. I'm saying that for a reason. Think God's thoughts after Him. But if you don't pursue Him, if you don't open the Word of God and read it, those are His thoughts. You won't have them. And then Jesus said, let's go back and read a little bit more. In Matthew chapter 7 to our text. Therefore, verse 24, everyone who hears my words, see, those are the thoughts, and puts them into practice. I can have the right board sitting there to put in the construction of my house. But as long as that board is just sitting there on the sawhorses or on the table, it ain't in my house. It's not going to help hold the house up just because it's the right board and sitting there. Are you with me? You got to take that board and put it into the building and nail it in place, put it into practice. Live it. And puts them into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down. The Streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against the house, and yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Let Jesus and his words be your foundation, and you are building when you do it. You just can't sit there and look at the material. We sit here and look at the material of sermons, and we don't put them into practice. Sometimes I don't live what I preach perfectly. Are we here on the radio or hopefully your own Bible study? You see, I'm not talking about salvation by works. I'm saying that salvation works. I'm going to say that again. I am not saying that we earn salvation by works. But I am saying that salvation works. That the fruit of salvation is works. Ephesians 2 says you've been saved by grace, by faith, and through faith, that not of yourselves, but of the grace of God. And he says, who created you for good works. He made you to build on Jesus. Not let a bunch of Christians just sit around and say, well, you know, I wonder when this house is going to get built. No. Expects you to use the material he's given you, the material of his good word. And this is a house that will last forever. See, but I'm not talking about a house, am I? I'm talking about a life. A life that will last forever. But you've got to put it into practice. 1 John chapter 3. Turn there with me. 1 John chapter 3. We see this admonition and there's a promise with it. 1 John chapter 3. And let's look at verse 17. John 3. Actually, I think I wrote down the wrong verse. It's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. 1 John 2:17 says the world and its desires are going to pass away. In fact, look at verse 16. Well, let's read verse 15 too. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of the sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from God, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. If you're building on your desires, if you're building upon what you have, you might even have a nice house, it's not going to last. Only the house of your life, built in Christ, will last. The world and its desires will pass away. But the man who does the will of God, hears it and puts it into practice, lives forever. Is he preaching works? No. He's preaching salvation. Paul told us, as I read last week, Philippians chapter 2, 21, he said, work out your own salvation. Notice, work it out, not work for it. You don't work for salvation, but you do work it out. You do take the word of God and walk in it and build your life. God's life for his glory. For it is God who works in you to give you the will and the desire to do of his good pleasure. So if you're saved, God, the Holy Spirit, lives in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And there are works. You put your thoughts, his thoughts, into practice by his Spirit and by his power. And a house is built, a life is built that will last forever. And you'll look back 1,000 years from now and you will give God the glory for doing it, but you will be also thankful that you had his thoughts and you chose to do his way. And when the judgment comes, you see, he talks about the wind blowing, right? Written Isaiah, the hail is going to come. We all have trouble in our lives. Will you survive? Will your house stand? And when it comes on judgment day, and there is going to come a judgment, those who are saved have their judgment now. Jesus takes our sins. Jesus takes God's wrath for us. But we are still going to have to give an account. And it will be evident by our lives and by the glory we're able to give to God forever and ever. But on that judgment day, if you have not put your faith in Christ and relied on Him to work through you and to build through you, it's going to be very difficult. The winds will come. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. The storms are the storms of life now and the storms of life before the judgment seat of God. Let's look at verse 26. But everyone who hears of Matthew 7, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. That is really foolish, isn't it? You build a house on sand, rains come, you know what's going to happen to sand? It's going to wash away. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You don't want your life to crash. And on Judgment Day, as we read last week, you know, up in verse 23, that I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Because you're going to be building something. Something of righteousness or evil. And I'm going to read again. That saying inscribed on the Cathedral of Lubbock in Germany. And it beautifully reflects the Lord's words on Judgment Day. Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. What will it be on Judgment Day? What will it be when the storm of judgment hits your house? I encourage you to think God's thoughts. I encourage you to choose God's way. And I encourage you to put into practice God's way and therefore build on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And your life, which is really His life, will endure forever. Father, we thank you for the great hope we have. We thank you for the warning and the invitation to come and build on Christ. We pray that you would empower us to think your thoughts, to choose your way, and to build in obedience. Do not condemn us on that day. Take our sins and put them upon Jesus. And we thank you for loving us so much that you gave us your only begotten Son. Now help us to build upon Him. And we thank you for doing it, for we need you to. In Jesus' name, amen.